Let us pray together. Eternal God, this holy night is radiant with the brilliance of your one true light. As we have known the revelation of that light on earth, bring us to see the splendor of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated, and we have our first reading.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for those for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Psalm 96, we pray together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and great is his praise. He is to be revered, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before you. Bring your strength. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord, the glory of his name. Bring offerings to come to his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Render up for him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He has judged the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the soil and all that fills in it, and the fields and ground, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is finally judged the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth.
A reading from the letter of Paul to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Some of us might have a sense of what that means, the movement from darkness to light, as this very old passage is bringing to us. Paul Simon, if you know that name, has a song, Renee and Georgette Magritte with their dog after the war. And it's about a surrealist painter that has an image before the war and during the war and after the war. And Paul Simon spins out these very normal things that seemed so delightful after the war, like listening to the music that had been banned and going to see in the shops the new fashions that were coming about. And he brings in his melodic way that sense of delight and joy and deep celebration that comes from being able to do simple things in the way that you had not been able to do them for years and years. There's a Lutheran pastor that I've gotten to know, and he grew up in East Germany, and he can talk about what it was like for the wall to come down and what it was like for that new freedom to come about in a very local and real context for him, a movement from darkness to light. Some of us know that kind of experience. Probably not some of our younger generations, but some of those of you who have been through wartime, who have been through famine time, or simply know it through your parents and grandparents, going back even to the 30s. And what that was like to be in a time of such lean years and then come into, as our reading says, into the harvest. What it would be like to finally have a good crop. What it would be like to finally have a good meal. And all the feelings and senses that come about for those of us who have lived through that kind of thing. But thankfully, it's not something we have experienced recently in a mass societal way in this part of the world. Certainly in other parts of the world, they have experienced that, but it might not be so fresh in our understanding. So you might think, well, how do we know this? There are other ways that we know this movement from darkness to light. I know a lady who was saying, "I will be so glad when 2019 is done." There has been, and she's got a list It was one of those years she will look back and say, 2019 was that year. Some of you have had years like that, where you have, you know, shaken the dust off your feet, spit on the ground, and said, good riddance, you know, let it be done. We're going into 2020, but like new people. Some of us have gotten clean bills of health, and this journey that we had been through of all the diagnoses and everything that has come around, and then there's a day where they say, we don't want to see you anymore. Go home. Live your life. Some of you know what that feels like, either in yourself or in a family member, the movement from darkness to life. Some of us know it simply in dealing with some problem or thing that has been hanging over us. I like how the reading puts it, like the bar off your shoulders. Some you know, use the resistance bar to gain muscle mass. Some of us are carrying around a barbell that we don't want, and there comes a day where it comes off your shoulders and we let it crash to the floor, and we don't care what happens to the floor. That thing is done. Let it be gone, and you walk away like a free person. What this passage might have meant for the people who wrote it, for the people who first put these words into experience, the writer of Isaiah who spun this, whether it was his own writing or kind of a poem that had been passed around, they think that it might have come from the coronation of a king or some kind of thanksgiving psalm, thanksgiving prayer that was acknowledging that there has been this new thing that has begun that we have not experienced before, and it is changing everything that we know and everything that we have lived. And it would have been in a specific context, in a specific set of circumstances, that this was first penned. And it meant much to those people at that time. But it might also mean much to us who are hearing it thousands of years later. And it has meant much to many people in between, Christians to such an extent to say, this is the reading we want when we gather on the birthday of Jesus. This is the one that we wish to dwell on and settle into. This might seem strange. It might not. I've been thinking about time as a construct. I would like to know more what some of the thinking of time is. I'm reflecting on something that C.S. Lewis said, that time for us is an experience. We are within time, and we're moving along. We can never go backwards. We can never go forwards. We are simply in this moment. C.S. Lewis writes that for God, it is like seeing time as a single line on the page, something that has been created for us, that we experience, but God is outside of time. And I've been reflecting that what this can mean is that on some level, there is no past and future. On some level, history is our experience, but in God's experience, history is a singular entity. And so it may very well be that as we experience this moment, as we let ourselves dwell in this moment, not in the past tense or the future tense, but the present, we have an experience of the fullness of eternity in our midst. That has astonishing things to say about what we're doing here tonight and what our experience of each other and our experience of God is. That the fullness of eternity lives with us in this very present moment. And so these words are spoken to us as if they are freshly penned by Isaiah. They resonate in our human hearts in the exact same way that they resonated with the human hearts at that point in history. That God is as much present with us in these words as we hear them tonight as God was present with those people experiencing that freedom. This brings us to think that whatever freedom we might be experiencing this night, whatever freedom we might be hoping for, is the fullness of God present with us, that God dwells in that moment, in this moment. And we are also to consider that these words may very well then resonate with the stable, that Jesus born in Bethlehem is connected in this whole time frame and structure, that we experience not only these words of Isaiah, but we experience the birth of Jesus in our midst. I can't say the quote off the top of my head, but I think it's Meister Eckhart who says, what good is it if Jesus was born 2,000 years ago if he is not born anew in our hearts today? What good is that if it is only in history, but here is the present experience in our midst? And so we reflect that we come to a night like this with all kinds of hopes. We come with things in relationships that we hope would change. We come with things in our bodies that we hope would change. We come with things in our world that we hope would change, that may feel like a bar that is on our shoulder that we hope one day to let down. And we may reflect that the Lord of all creation is with us in that experience, perhaps sharing the load of that bar, saying, we will bear this together. It will not be gone yet, but we will walk together until that day comes. And we find ourselves in longing and hoping. The scripture goes on to say that this is a king who is in our midst, who is with us in this night. We have kings in our world, but this is the king who will reign in righteousness, which is an old way of saying in good relationship, which is a way of saying that the fullness of humility, the fullness of justice, the fullness of peace is brought to bear in the way this king lives out his reign. We are drawn this night to worship this king and say, we want to follow you rather than all the other kings that we encounter in our world. We desire deeply someone who will lead us with humility. We desire deeply someone who will lead us with peace. We desire deeply someone who will lead us with perfection, when so many of the examples we see are anything but. And so in our knowledge of God walking with us, in this knowledge of God going ahead of us in the person of Jesus as this king, we find a promise that one day our darkness will come to an end, that the things we hope for in our world that may never get fixed before our death, we are promised that there will be a day where all war clothes will be burnt together and where all the rods on our backs will be lifted off and all those things in our body will be done away with, and we'll find ourselves living in the fullness of God's light. Let us begin living in that promise now in our daily life and living in our hopes and in our love. Amen.
As we worship, with the saints in all ages, let us confess the mystery of God in the ancient words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, again, in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended from heaven and is seated in heaven. Right? He will come again in glory to judge the living and the kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In joy and humility, let us pray to the creator of the universe. Responding to the bidding, we pray with, "Hear us, Lord of glory." O Prince of Peace, at this holy season, we pray in your name for all people, especially those who work for peace and justice. We pray for also for those who live with war and injustice, that we might remember that we are all called to be peacemakers. We pray. O Son of Mary, you taught us to approach God as a loving parent. We pray for all families, large and small, traditional and non-traditional, especially those who will gather this holy season in pain and grief. We pray for those who are alone and those who are away from home, that as children of God, we might learn how to welcome and support our brothers and sisters, regardless of any differences between us, just as you taught us to do. We pray. O babe of Bethlehem, you showed us that even a tiny child can change the world. We pray for children everywhere, those who sleep tonight with one eye open, waiting for Santa's jingle bells, and those who are hungry and afraid and kept awake by the sounds of gunfire and screaming. We pray for those who will pose for photographs to be shared with doting families, and for those we see in newspapers staring at us through cages, with protruding bellies and no one's hand to hold. That we might strive to build a world where all children will be protected and nurtured, we pray. Hear us, Lord. O Word made flesh, in Jesus you pitched a tent and dwelt with us. Enfold in your loving arms all who are ill or in any kind of distress this Christmas, remembering those we now name aloud or hold in our hearts. We pray for also for those who have died and for their families who will miss them terribly this Christmas. Again, remembering those we name aloud and those we remember silently. And we also remember the family of Betty Brise and Helen and Alex and Evelyn Jameson and Marie. That we might be given compassionate hearts and clarity of vision, and so be able to see your face in those around us, and that we might serve you by caring for those in need, we pray. O eternal Christ, we pray for the church wherever it exists. In our own diocese, we pray for our Bishop Jane, our Rector Jonathan, and Dan, our honorary assistant. We remember at this season the homebound members of our parish who have a special place in our hearts, even though we rarely see them here. We pray also for visitors to our parish and for those searching for faith this Christmas, that the Star of Bethlehem might draw all people to the light of your holy presence, we pray. O Emmanuel, God with us, open our hearts and minds that we might recognize that you are with us and within us, that we might, like Mary, might be overshadowed by your Holy Spirit and give birth to Christ in our lives and for our time, and so work with you to make our world a kinder, more just place for all your children. We pray. In the silence that follows, I invite your personal prayers. That you, Lord, might enter our hearts and redeem both the pains and the joys that we keep hidden there, we pray. O God of glory, today you have given us a child. Born of Mary, he is the hope of earth and the joy of heaven. As we celebrate with carols and prayers, gifts and feasting, we open our hearts to receive your Christ. Come, incarnate love, rejuvenate us in body, mind, and spirit until Christmas spills over every thought, word, and action. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the ever-coming one, and the babe of Bethlehem. Amen.